There is a word from the Lord. I was in Cabos, St. Lucia this week, and First Lady, she called it out, and I had a birthday, and I celebrated 50, none of your business. And I wanted to get away. I'd been traveling so much, working for the church, and I wanted to get away, and I had an opportunity to just not take work with me, Pastor. I was able to get away, and I came back dark-skinned. Amen. And I enjoyed myself, but had a flight in last night, got in at 11:30, and got to my sister's midnight, and I would have forwarded my information to the media team, but hot off the press, 4 o'clock this morning, I was up finishing up what thus said the Lord. So I hope you receive, amen, what the Lord has to say. Won't you turn to somebody better looking than yourself and tell them, I love the Lord, and you too, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, if you can't find nobody better looking, just find somebody looking. Find somebody looking. Amen, somebody. I promise I won't hold you long. Acts chapter 3. Thank you. Thank you. I love it. We'll honor the Lord by standing. Acts chapter 3. Begin reading at verse 1, and we'll commence reading down through verse 10. I'm going to be reading Eugene Peterson's Message Bible. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. One day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were on their way into the temple of prayer for prayer meeting. And at the same time, there was a man crippled from birth being carried up. Every day he was set down at the temple gate, the one named Beautiful, to beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. Verse 4, Peter, with John at his side, looked him straight in the eye and said, "Look here." He looked up, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, "I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ," and he pulled him up, he grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up, and in an instant his feet and ankles became firm. He jumped into his feet and he walked. Verse 8, the man went into the temple with him, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. Everybody there saw him walking around and praising God. They recognized him as the one who sat begging at the temple's gate, Beautiful, and they rubbed their eyes, astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing. I'd like to call your attention to verse 6. I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. He grabbed him up by the right hand, and he picked him up. He pulled him up. And in an instant, his feet and his ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and he walked. Now, that might not sound like much of anything to you. But before you take your seats, can you just turn to your neighbor and say to them, I sure could use a pick-me-up. Turn to somebody and say, hey, neighbor, I sure could use a pick-me-up. Find somebody across the room and say, hey, neighbor. Don't put me down, but please pick me up. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's Sunday again. Time for our weekly faith charge. How many people really like coming to church? I mean, you really enjoy coming to church. After a week of stressors on the job, in the home, kids, marital concerns, bills, health concerns, isn't it good to know that you could come to a place with like-minded believers and have your own personal pick-me-up? We're living in a day filled with constant negativity, bad news everywhere. Good news isn't even noteworthy anymore because people are so enthralled with bad news. There's a horrible and unethical ways of going around now. There seems to be bad behavior, gossip columnists, bloggers, vloggers creating false information, conspiracy theories, moral compass are at an all-time low, jealousy, envy, strife, competition, murdering, molestation, wars, and rumors of wars. There's times when I say, Calgon, take me away. In other words, I'm in need of a good old pick-me-up. The current state of our church is at a pivotal position. Pivotal means the crucial importance in relationship to the development or success of something else. The state of the church is of crucial importance. As believers, you've got to understand, if you are only concerned about the development of yourself and not anyone else, that I would like to suggest that you perhaps revisit what your kingdom responsibility is all about. You've got to understand, living faith, we are now faced with new challenges. The stuff I'm seeing now, my God, I would have never thought when I was a teenager that I would see these days. It was bad to take a girl to the movies and try to neck, you know, that was... Y'all young folk don't know what neck mean, but that was bad. But the things these young people go through now blows my head off. We're fostering in a non-believing culture. When I ask you the question this morning, what impact are you making on the world? Is Sunday just another good feel-good day for you? Is it a place that you go and spend a couple of hours and you've done your great deed for the week? Are you the part of the problem or are you a part of the solution? I'd like to encourage you this morning that relationship with God is better than a bi-weekly fellowship for those who come to church during the week. It's more than just a two-hour service and you're watching your clock the whole time to ensure that no one goes over that 2 hours. And trust me, I see home on some of your face, so I'm not. A relationship with God will change your fellowship with your brother. It will make your heart a little bit more sensitive to the needs of us others, especially those who are in need of a good pick-me-up. If we were to be honest, the church, ourselves, if we make the confession, the church has fallen short in a few areas. Now, I know it's good talk. It's been hot topic this week about what Brother Ty Tribbett said. And for those of you who take your own pick, you do that. But for someone who has been at the head of the church, we've got to be so very careful about systems of the church. You got to be very careful that we make not the church and the four-wall structure all there is. We come here to worship, but we go out to serve. We've lost some great opportunities, and I want to say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, we've lost sight of those who were hurting. We've lost sight of those, and we've not mastered in keeping in contact with our brothers and sisters who are less fortunate than ourselves. It's amazing since we've arrived. Since we have a nice car, live in a nice house, I pull my own self up by my own bootstraps. No one helped me with anything. Don't you know the same God that gave can take it away? You may have a little few nickels in your bank account now, but God can blow on your money, it'll scatter. The only way you are to receive is when you give. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have missed opportunities. Hear me now. We've had the opportunity to give, but we have lacked, therefore, because we have been unconcerned. The Bible lets us know the love of many would wax cold. And I'd like to suggest to you this morning that the church has a greater responsibility than to come here, kick up dust, and to just go back home. I want you to know that our work is not done until this facility begins to be just the Sunday school class. I wish I had some help here. You're not done until everybody in your family is saved, and then you still ain't done because I need some help with getting 9 saved. I know some people say, oh, if I could just make it in. I don't want to just make it in. I want to have a secure seat. I want to know without a shadow of a doubt that my home. You got to understand, believer, the passage that we discussed today, this morning it reveals truths that encourages the believer to take a moment to stop, engage, and offer a pick-me-up to someone through an extension of love. When we extend ourselves beyond ourselves and caring for others, it becomes second nature. Let's look at Peter and John's pick-me-up. Point number one for note takers, I'd like to add that their pick-me-up was extensive, extensive. Jesus sets the standard for loving others. He loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. His love for us is extensive. It covers a wide range. And I know some of y'all give the testimony that, oh my God, the Lord saved me from a miserable life of sin. But he didn't save me from a miserable life because I enjoyed doing the stuff I was doing. I know some of y'all, I enjoyed every bit, but I'm so glad I came into the knowledge. And I knew that there's a life after this life. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word is going to stand. And you've got to understand that God's love is so extensive. It covers to the highest mountain, to the lowest valley, east and west. And I want you to know, I don't care what you've done, God loves, covers you. You could have left the club last night. God still loves you. Sometimes we have to go out of our range when it's time to give a pick-me-up to someone. Now listen. Now, I don't mind picking up Sister Jones and 3 of her kids, but I can't pick up all 6. I don't mind going up the block, but if I got to make 2 rights and a left and make a U-turn, I can't do it. I can't. Sometimes you're going to have to go out of the way. I wish I had some help. You might have to be inconvenienced. Lord, I just got $20. I just got $20. And they asking for 10. You might have to go out of your way. Peter and John's concern for this lame man shows an extensive intent. Please note that they were on their way to church to pray, but they didn't pass him by. They made time to render aid to him. And how many times have we passed church to get to church? Your son in his room playing the game all week long, passing church to get to church. Your husband in the basement, you ain't seen him but like 2 ships in the night, passing church. Because I got to get the circumment table ready. I got to get the parking lot. You ain't kiss your wife all week. I got to park. But bro, if you don't go kiss your wife and let them cars park themselves. We're majoring on the minor and minoring on the major. Passing church to get to church, and for what? Oh, you've got to understand, they were on their way to the temple, and it wasn't too much for them to set a keen eye to this man in need. When your real desire is to see the betterment of mankind, your love must be extensive. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And let's be clear, it is not one's sole responsibility to write or dictate someone else's happiness, and we need to be careful of placing that kind of burden to ourselves. Now, I love you, and I want to see the betterment of you. I want to see you come up. I want to see you do good. But I can't keep giving you my $20 if you keep running to the liquor store. I wish I had some help here. God gave me some sense, too. And just as sure I know how to give tender love, I know how to give some tough love, too. You're going to get your behind off this sofa. You're going to get you a job. Go in there and brush your teeth and comb your nappy. I wish I had some help. Happiness comes from within. We cannot confuse happiness with happenings. You got to understand, you've got to be happy. I'm happy with Jesus alone. I didn't have to be in Cabos to enjoy myself. I enjoy myself riding my car, tapping my foot. Listen to the Canton Spirituals. I wish I had some help in here. Not only was their love extensive, point number two, their love was expensive. If you have the resources and you see your brother in need, but close up your bowels of compassion, the Bible says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? That's what love is all about. Love doesn't hold anything back, but it meets the needs wherever it finds a need. It's not always about your money. Sometimes, and more often not, it's about time. It's about your talent. And how many of you know you can't put a price tag on time? Time is expensive. You can't pay for time. You can't take time back. This man was lame from birth. He was carried up daily to be laid at the temple to beg for money. Now, here he was at a gate called Beautiful. I almost preached there was an ugly sight at a beautiful gate. Here he is. Every day someone laid him there, and he went there asking for money. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He was asking for alms, begging for, look at there. He was asking for alms and got legs. He was asking for alms, and he got legs. And although Peter and John had no money, they offered what they had. How many times have we passed those in need, and if we couldn't give them what they wanted, we missed the opportunity in giving them what they need? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I can give that to you. May not have a whole lot of money, but I can tell you Jesus loves you. May not have all that you want. I can't pay your car note this week, but I can tell you about a man that can. And not only that, he can put you in a better situation. So next month, you'll know not to go to Macy's. Oh, God, I help you. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. I done stepped on some toes there. Come back, mouth. Come back, mouth. You've got to understand that we are to encourage one another. Our job is to be our brother's keeper. And point number three, I've got to close here. Their love, their pick-me-up to this man was extensive. It was expensive. And point number three, it was expressive. Genuine love doesn't talk about it. Genuine love acts. And if you got to talk about how you help me, keep your money. If you got to talk about, I was the one, Doc. I was the one. I paid the light bill. I was the one. Well, you got your reward. Good for you. Hooray, hoorah, you did it. That's not real help. Child, you know, she got all them kids, but, you know, ain't nobody asked me. But I just felt on my, you know, don't tell nobody. Please don't tell nobody. But that was me. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Y'all know you. I know my people. I know. That was me. I did it. You got these ones, Pastor. Say, Reb, say, come into a little change. And I want to be a blessing to the ministry. So I want to give you this little check, Pastor. Pastor, open up the check. Ooh, thank you. Whatever you do, just I want to be anonymous, not anonymous. I want to be anonymous. Don't tell nobody. Please don't tell nobody. Pastor gets up. Living faith, oh, my Lord, the Lord blessed us today. I want you to know somebody blessed us with this wonderful $10,000 church goes up, and I mean everybody's excited, and I want you to know we're just so glad that that member, amen, just blessed us, and we're just so glad. Let's move on. Come on, choir, let's do it. Look, look, didn't even call my name. I bet you it's the last dime. I can't get nobody to help me. I got a doctorate in Negroology. Real love is manifested by meeting a material need and no one has to know. It might be manifested in lending a helping hand or a listening ear. There are countless ways in which we can show the reality of our love to our brothers just by meeting the need. Peter and John were on their way to the temple, and the beggar was asking for money. Verse 4 says that Peter was expressive with a keen eye and said, hey, look here. I don't have money, but such as I have, I give to thee. Peter expressed, he conveyed his position, and he offered what he had. I remember the older saints when I was newly married, and my first wife and I, we were young married, 19 years old, didn't know what behind the ears, didn't know too much or nothing, but the older saints would slip a little $20 in your hand, hold your hand real tight, and stop by the house and take it to the deep freezer, go get you some meat out the deep, take it to the cupboards and get you some canned goods out of there. That's what real love is, meeting the need. You see, I got a whole bunch of kids, and you just go through your clothes. I don't want to wear that. No, I don't want to wear that. Some of y'all will never be a size 6 again. Never, never. Give those clothes away. You ain't going to never. I'm telling you now, you ain't going to never do it. Somebody can use those clothes. And by the time you get in the size 6, they ain't going to be in style no more. Give them clothes. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. As believers, we have a responsibility to deal with those who may never come inside of our church. You are the Bible that some people will ever read. You're not going to win them by your big bumper sticker on your car. The world don't care about your glorious titles in church. Yeah, I'm Deacon so-and-so. I'm the head deacon of the church. And bro, looking at you like, well, I'm the head NIC. And what? They don't care about your glorious titles, but they care about the life you live in front of them. Don't speak in tongues to me if you can't speak to me in English. I wish I had some help in here. I don't care how wonderful the pastor thinks you are and you mean as a junkyard dog at work. I wonder if I ask your neighbors about you, what would they say? What will your coworkers say about you? I go to your church and say, you know, this precious sister, you know, she's saved. From what? from who? What will the world say about your representation? Every now and then, a simple hello is what someone needs. Every now and then, I'm praying for you is all that someone needs. Every now and then, somebody needs, you sure look good today. Your smile does something for me. It's a simple pick me up. The world is not impressed again by those wonderful t-shirts. I work for God. How many of you know, let your light so shine that men will see your good works? Oil and water don't mix. You can't be cussing today and then preaching tomorrow. Nobody's going to take you serious. You keep up more junk and more mess, but you want to carry the gospel? We're dealing with a different day and time now. They don't care. People don't care about how much Bible you know. But can you love me when I'm down? Can you feed me when I'm hungry? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you in prison? When you did it unto the least of them, you did it unto him. Peter, they were on their way. They were rushing. They were on their way to the temple. They were on their way. They were on their way, but they stopped. They saw somebody. They saw somebody in need. They had the ability to stop because I felt you, my brother. I knew something was going on, and my heart went to where you were. I had to stop and say, can I help you? What has gotten into us? What has gotten into us? We have gotten so sedentary. I can wear what I want to wear and drive what I want to drive, live where I want to live. But it don't stop. I'll kick off all these shoes right now and give God some glory, because I remember when I didn't have. I remember where he brought me from. I remember how he picked me up, turned me around. Baby, don't tell me about no poking me's and wieners. Every now and then I get me some sausage and grits right now just to lick where he brought me from. Don't you ever point your finger, turn your nose on someone else, because you're in a better situation now. Look where it brought me from. Brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. Hallelujah, somebody. You ought to get up on your feet right now and give God some glory for looking where he brought you from. You ain't always had. You know your hair been nappy. And you hate it when it rained. Because that straightening comb had to last you 2 weeks before you went back for a prick. Girl, don't mess up this hair. Don't mess up this hair. Don't mess up this hair. And we've arrived now. We want everybody to think that we've made it. And you a lying wonder. Your light bill due and gas bill. You got your car parked in the backyard, hiding from the repo man. Because you don't, we're standing, everybody standing. I'm getting ready to pray. I'm done. I need a pick me up. Someone else needs a pick me up. You come to church, had your good feel good. It feels good. But it's not about what pastor says. It's not about what the preacher says. It's about what God says. And if you go to hell out of living faith, you just want to go. You just want to go. You done made up your mind. I'm going. And I'm enjoying the trip. I'm going. Because you get the necessary tools here to make it. I love this pastor. He could easily drive what he want to drive. But he has the people in mind. And this is what ministry is all about. I want to challenge you this morning. When you leave this place, what does it take away from you to drop a card in the mail to say, I missed you this week? And you know what? We've hidden behind text messages. Child, I really don't want to talk to her, but I'm going to send her a quick little text. I can control that because she's a talker. She's a talker. She talked too much. I just want to, hey, how you doing? Bye. Bye. God bless. God bless. What does it take away from you to say, man, how's it going, bro? For real, what's going on? And you know, men already, we don't talk as it is. We don't share. And you know why? Because some women haven't made it safe for us to share. Because when we tell you our vulnerabilities, you might bring it back up in our face when you get mad. you share it, just like the last time. Brethren, I encourage you to get with another brother. Create a safe haven to be able to talk to somebody. We need a pick-me-up. The pressures of this world are on us. We're trying to perform. It's a fight. It's rough. It's hard. Women, the power that you have to speak into your husband's life. Baby, tell you something. You the finest. Now, this, I'm talking about what his wife will say. I ain't me now. My bat don't swing like that. No. You know what I'm saying, bro. Your wife speaks. Baby, I appreciate you. You pay these bills like no other. I don't care if he the shortest thing in your house. Baby, you the shortest, biggest thing I know. Call him daddy dog. I don't care. Call him. I don't care. Speak into his life. Because it's those positive affirmations. I want to encourage you as you leave this place this morning. They're on their way to the temple. This is the point I'd like to make in my last point. They were rushing. On their way. They were rushing. Ooh, they were rushing. But they stopped and they made time. But the text pastor says, when they offered him the pick-me-up, he got up, went into the temple, leaping, shouting, praising God, and the folk were astonished. They were amazed. But my question is, why don't y'all stop and pick him up? Look at somebody and say, whatever you do, don't leave me at the gate. Don't leave me there. How dare you in there shouting and praising God and leaping and jumping, and you got me at the gate. Yeah, you got me at the gate. You serving God and you all happy, but I'm at the gate. Y'all could have put some nickels or dimes in my cup. I'm there daily. The Bible said he was laid there daily. Shame on the church. Shame on the church. I want to challenge you this morning. We're getting ready to pray. I wanted you to leave here this morning with the challenge of giving someone else a pick-me-up. Well, you don't know. People don't never call me. Well, you may be the reason why. Change your attitude. Don't nobody never call me. Well, who do you call? Don't nobody ever stop. Who do you stop by and see? The Bible says if you want friends, you got to first show yourself friendly. Get yourself out of your comfort zone. I ain't got to know you to shake your hand. Bless you, man. Bless you, sis. Bless you. I ain't got to know y'all name. I ain't got to go on a 40-day fast to do that. I ain't got to go, you know, the Holy Ghost got not happening. Somebody that I see. Just to say I love y'all. Where you been Sunday? I ain't trying to know your business. I just miss you Sunday. Simple things. We complicate Christendom. I don't know about you, but when I leave this earth, I don't care how young you think you, I don't care how much cream you use and shea butter and all that oil, you're going to leave here, sister, brother. You're going to leave here. Mother Nature and Father Time going to catch up with you. And y'all can get your skin plucked, tucked, and all this other stuff. Look at your knuckles. You can't help it. Y'all looking at them now. You can't hide them age on them knuckles, baby. Them knuckles is what they are. Them knuckles is what they are. You're going to leave here. Pastor can preach until the cows come home about you. But it's when that book is open and you stand before that judgment bar. I don't want to just make it in. The Bible says the righteous will scarcely make it. That means, you see how this little crack in this chair? Try putting me, all of this, between the crack of this chair. If the righteous will scarcely make it, where would the ungodly be? Hallelujah. I want to challenge you this morning. We've got work to, look at somebody say, we've got work to do. We've got work to do. Won't you grab the hand of somebody next to you? Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the word on this morning. Thank you, God, for the exploits to encourage us to love our neighbor even as we love ourselves. God, I pray for every hand that's being held this morning that you'd get the glory out of their lives. And God, if we've fallen short, we've faltered in any way of not showing your goodness and showing your love to our brother, forgive us now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you create a fire within us, God, of evangelism. God, I pray that you allow us to move out of ourselves and not just be so concerned about me, my wife, my son, her son, and my circle, God, but move us out of ourselves to think about somebody else other than ourselves. Oh, dear God, let us pick up the phone and let us go down the street and let us be able to witness to those who might not know you and the pardon of their sins. God, I pray for living faith this morning, God, that you fill this edifice to complete capacity. Oh, dear God, not so that we could be the church of the city, God, but God, that we could be the church of the city that's doing the work for Christ, that your name be glorified, that we be a church on fire for the Lord. God, I pray that you bless this pastor and first lady now. Lift up their arms, God. Continue to speak to him, God, that he might speak to us. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you anoint him. Give him long life. Give him longevity of life in the name of Jesus. Thank you for his obedience. Thank you for his humility in the name of Jesus. And oh, dear God, there's a family here now. They're in need of a good pick-me-up. There's a wife, God, who's been put down all week long and is in need of a good pick-me-up. There's a husband who silently is crying on the inside in need of a good pick-me-up. There are children who are afraid to talk to their parents because they've been picked on at school, and they're in need of a good pick-me-up. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you stretch your loving arms around each and every one under the sound of my voice. God, give us the true call, and let us get back to what you called us, and that's about real ministry, showing love one to. How will they know we are your disciples? They'll know it by the love we show one to the other. So, God, as we leave this place, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how you've blessed us. I thank you for the encouragement that we might run on to see what the end will be. Bless us and we shall be blessed. Keep us and we shall be kept. It's in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Why don't you hug your neighbor and tell him, say, here's my pick-me-up. Come on, go hug somebody. Go hug. Leave your seat and go tell them, here's my pick-me-up. Here's my pick-me-up. That's right. Leave from wherever you are and tell them, here's my pick-me-up.